Hey everyone, this is Shaken and Disturbed with Father God Darren here, with very hiccupy Mother God, because Father, it's so weird talking about myself in third person, made Mother laugh very hard
You
in
had me
our
giggling.
I am giggling, and which, oh, it's not even laughing hard, I guess, giggling, because when he gets the gigglies, he gets a little hiccupy. And so you're going to
Here I
hear
am.
some esophageal spasms
Sadly.
sadly, from this man. So if he needs to take a break, you can hear the little, you sound like my
Can you
dog.
hear it? You know, it's funny because this is at least the second episode where I've had the hiccups, and Darren like yelled at me for not ordering this little straw.
I saw the straw on Shark Tank, and we're going to get to the case because I want to get into it quickly, but I saw this thing on Shark Tank that was like instant cure for hiccups. It's a straw. You can do it kids and adults. You put it in a glass of water. It doesn't even need to be water. It could
Okay,
be
I'm doing
anything.
that right now. So then what do I do?
Right, but it has like a flap. Basically, it has like a, it causes you to like slowly sip the water. So that way it like unspasms
I
your,
see what you're
whatever it
saying.
is, your esophagus flap. I don't know what it is, but
Excuse
I bought it
me?
because I was like, when I get hiccups like that, it hurts me. Like it
Yeah,
just
and
doesn't feel good. It
also,
hurts and none of the things work. And so I bought this, $10. It cured it instantly.
a very smart thing for you to have is you're on air, like obviously way more than I am, so you would need that in a pinch. I literally have only gotten hiccups when I'm laughing at you, so or with
You only
you,
sound like
so
you're going to vomit every 2 seconds.
I
It's no
know.
big
Should
deal.
I? Should
Good
we
thing we're not
stop?
recording a
Wait, should
podcast.
we stop and redo this or no? What do you think?
No, I mean,
No, we should just keep going. Okay.
well, we're here.
We're here now. We should just
We're
keep going.
here. If you
I
feel like you
apologize.
can't or you need a break, just
Okay.
listen.
Just
Remember
give
when I
you
just
the whole
read your,
show.
remember when you read, I read just your section? We'll just do it that way and I'll just read
Okay.
the section until you tap in.
Yeah.
How about that?
That
Yeah.
sounds good. Okay, guys, bear with me here, and I apologize. You know, we're on a strict schedule too. We got to keep that in mind.
My poor baby.
Oh,
Wait,
it's
let
so
me ask you though.
annoying.
Do you like do the trick where you like hold your breath and
Yeah,
count to
let me try
30
that.
seconds and swallow every 10? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You're supposed to hold it for 30 seconds and then every 10 you swallow.
Every 10 you swallow what?
You
Spit?
like just
Like a
to
swallow motion.
swallow. Yeah, like
Okay,
actually
do this with
swallow.
me. Okay, I'm gonna hold my breath again.
Okay,
Wait, do I do
ready?
30 seconds straight, or you're saying every
Like
10
hold you,
of
like
the 30? Excuse me.
hold your breath for 30, and every time
30.
I hit 10 seconds, just swallow.
Okay, let's try it. Ready?
Ready? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Swallow. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Swallow. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Swallow.
Guys, I think that worked.
Really?
Hold on. I think that worked. I don't have them anymore.
Well,
Look, here I
I'm
am. I can,
ChatGPT.
whenever they're going away, and
Carp
you can,
GPT. Just call me by my nickname.
when they're going away and you can almost kind of feel them coming back on, but then
Yeah,
they
they
don't.
don't.
That's what it was just happening, and now they're gone.
There you go.
Darren, oh my
Sometimes
God, I
it
can't
works,
believe that
sometimes it
happened on the
doesn't.
show. Let me take one last swig of
But I
water.
also love that you like didn't know and you're like, wait, do I swallow or what do I swallow? Spit? I'm like, what are you talking about?
I didn't know exactly what I was supposed to be doing in that moment, and I can't believe we did that on the show, and yeah, they're gone. Oh my God, that was so weird. That really worked, guys. We just put a long-standing like what is the
Urban
word? Urban
legend.
legend. Yeah, you know what's funny? I was thinking, you know the movie Urban Legend? I was like
Yeah.
thinking of that movie, and I was like, I know it's the name of that movie, and I couldn't remember. Wow.
Oh, that's
Okay.
excellent.
So here we are. I hope you guys don't mind our little opener here, but I'm able to speak now, which is the most important thing. Darren has solved hiccups. Is that should be the name of the episode if we don't make
I'm
it.
going to get the Nobel Peace Prize, and I
That's
just wanted to
amazing.
tell you guys now that it's happening.
And then
And
you're going to
like,
give it to me in front of a
because you
photographer.
love to take
Yeah.
women's, yeah.
Voices.
You
That's
and
right.
that guy have a lot of similarities, let me just say.
All right. Well, now that my hiccups are gone, which is fucking crazy, I can't
Just
believe
call
Darren just
me
did that.
Carp MD, Carp
Oh my
MD.
God. I can't wait to clip this for like you for Instagram. Okay, so let's get into this week's episode. This one is very interesting. It's based in the 40s-ish, kind of through the 70s and 80s, actually. That was like a huge time jump. This guy was born in the 40s, I should say, but a lot of what happens happens much later in the 80s.
He
So
murders when he's two.
when he's two,
So, yeah.
right out of the womb. All right,
Exactly.
so in July of 1948, Richard Wade Farley was born in Texas, the first of six children to an Air Force mechanic and a homemaker. I'm smiling. If you guys are watching me on Patreon or YouTube, I'm smiling because I cannot believe that Darren just got rid of my hiccups like this. It's crazy.
I can't believe
Okay.
I just saved you $10 when you could have just sipped water through
For
a straw,
that.
which I'm going
Yeah,
to tell you to do
exactly.
that.
Yeah, exactly.
I know what you're getting for your
There
birthday
we go. Yeah. By
bladed
the way,
gift.
where's my birthday gift? It's fine. Well, during his early childhood, Richard moved repeatedly across the United States following his father's assignments. Again, he was in the Air Force, his father, before the family eventually settled in Petaluma, California. Now, this holds a special place in my heart. I have a very close, near and dear family member who lives in Petaluma.
I don't
She
even know where it
ab
is.
It's kind of near like San Francisco, kind of like
Oh, so it's
we're kind of
northern.
up that way. Yes, exactly.
Okay. Oh, cool.
And she loves it so much. And she's always yelling at me to come visit. So I'm going to make it there one day. But it's just funny that this is the
Well, friend, if you're listening,
small
John hates
town.
women and hates California. So,
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Yep.
yeah.
That's like a family member. It's fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
But anyway, in 1966, Richard graduated 61st out of a class of 520 in high school students. His mother later described him as
That's
a
pretty
quad.
good.
Yeah, that's a good number, I guess. Like
I
top
graduated
100.
10 out of 500 and like 80, but that's cool if you want to graduate
10.
61st. That's
I don't
cool.
know what my I did not have that many people. I don't remember anyone knowing what their
Because
rank
it's high
was in high
school and no
school.
one cares. That's why,
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
yeah. That's why
I
I'm the
mean,
loser here. I'm the
that's
loser.
right.
Yeah.
Right, that makes sense.
Right.
10,
Yes.
you could do better.
Yeah, exactly.
But his mother later described him as a quiet and socially withdrawn boy who preferred solitary activities such as studying, baking, practicing photography, over kind of the forming of friendships with his classmates, which is, listen, doing solitary things, I think, is somewhat normal in high school if you're like trying to figure things out or whatever. But doing that over instead of making friends, that's usually not a good thing,
Although,
unfortunately,
you know, I
socially.
mean, listen, 60s, we don't know yet. I'm just saying, like, a lot of gay guys especially experience this because they got bullied and they would retreat into themselves and do a lot of solitary things, studying, baking, practicing photography, like because you feel like you can't fit in. And so, you know,
Yeah, that's
I
true.
think especially back then, not
Yeah.
necessarily that crazy to think about that, you
Yeah.
know, with this lens that we're looking at it now.
Yeah,
Sure, back
right.
then. Anyway.
Well, then by 1967, Richard had joined the United States Navy, beginning a decade-long military career as a cryptologic technician, which was a career that involved maintaining classified electronic systems critical to national security operations. I would imagine back then, they were not sending war plans on the AppSignal. Maybe not. Maybe that's just a current thing that
They
happens from
probably
time to time.
were, right? I mean,
Right.
I do that all the
Yeah.
time,
You send your war
right?
plans on Signal like everyone else. Yeah.
I love sending my medical records out too. I just
To
like
that.
social
Yeah.
securities and credit cards. I just send them
Just
out on
take all the
Signal because like
sensitive
it's
information. Who
fine.
cares?
Yeah.
It's just
Who
fine. We're going to
cares?
make it through. Right. No, nothing could go wrong. Well, throughout his time in the Navy, Richard received advanced training in computer technology and earned commendations for marksmanship, although colleagues later referred to him as an arrogant, kind of emotionally distant person who was, quote, prone to grandiosity, end quote. So he was kind of one of those people, you kind of hear this about like really smart people, like they're really, really good with like the book smarts, but then like socially, they're kind of a little bit like not really easy to get along with. At least that's what I've heard in a lot of
Gee,
scenarios.
thanks.
Yeah, Darren, 10 out of 600, whatever.
Yeah, thanks.
By 1977, Richard received an honorable discharge from the Navy and transitioned to civilian employment, landing a position as a software technician with Electromagnetic Systems Labs, known as ESL, which was a defense
Which
contractor.
I only know as English as a second
Me
language
too,
because
yeah.
Nadine took
Yeah,
ESL.
I was an
So,
ESL
yeah.
teacher too myself.
So that's how I think of it, but this is not that.
No, not that. Different acronym, ESL, Electromagnetic Systems Labs, which was a defense contractor based in Sunnyvale, California. So from 1979 to 1984, Richard worked as a field service engineer for ESL in Australia, which we have been talking a lot about if you listen to our most recent NMR, where he serviced signal processing equipment used to verify international arms control and disarmament agreements, a role that required both technical precision and prolonged periods of isolation. I don't like where we're going with this isolation stuff, guys. I'm going to be honest. Well, by the spring of 1984, I cannot get over that I don't have hiccups anymore. I can't believe that this worked. I don't know what kind of witch are you?
You're welcome. A
All
good
right.
witch.
I just can't stop thinking of
But I'm
that
in
kind of
Slytherin,
witch.
so like there's that.
Oh, you're one of them. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
In the spring of 1984, Richard returned to the Sunnyvale facility and met a 22-year-old electrical engineer named Laura Black, whom he later testified in court that he fell in love with immediately. By April of 84, Richard began leaving unsolicited letters and homemade baked goods on Laura's desk. Remember, he loved to bake as a young man, initiating this pattern of behavior that continued despite her repeated and polite refusals of any romantic
Well,
involvement.
that's where it gets a little squirrely-whirly,
Yeah,
okay? That's
yeah.
where it gets a little too much. Take a no, take the L, take
Take
the
the
L.
L, maybe take the baked goods, but still, although I wouldn't eat baked goods from somebody who wouldn't leave me alone. You know, God only knows what's in them. Well, during the 3.5 years after their first meeting, Richard wrote approximately 200 letters to Laura. Again, imagine he had the app Signal. He'd be texting nonstop. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Followed her to and from work and even enrolled her in an aerobics class. Excuse me. Even enrolled in her aerobics class just to be close to her. Ew, that is like super
Why do
creepy.
men, they just like,
Why do
men are
men?
always like,
That's the
I never
question.
understand women. And I'm like, I get it, right? Like, women are onions, they got layers. And it's like, it reminds me of when people are like, how do I be an ally, right? And I'm like,
Yeah.
I don't know necessarily how to be an ally, but I know how not to be an ally. And with
Yeah.
this, it's like, yeah, I get it. You don't understand women. But this is
Yeah.
pretty like universal. When someone says no,
Yeah.
just take the no.
Real
You know?
quick, smash or pass, blooming onion at Outback.
Definitely smash, but
Smash.
I hate to say this, and my old roommate Ariana, whom I adore and love, and I hope she's listening to this because it was our running joke. I've never been to Outback Steakhouse.
My God. Let's move on.
Okay, moving on.
Have you
In
ever had a blooming
December,
onion from Outback
I think I
Steakhouse?
have.
Like pick up or to go or something or at someone's
Or
house?
like at a party or something, because like
Okay.
I understand the gist of it. Maybe it
It's
was at a
so good.
Chili's. I don't know, but I've
It's just
had it.
so good. You said onion, it brought me right to it. Let's keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in December of 1984, Richard broke into Laura's office desk to
Oh,
obtain her
cool.
parents' home address in
Oh,
Virginia
okay.
and then mailed letters to her there while she was visiting family for the holidays. So this
Jesus
is
Christ.
another level of stalking. And in early
Yeah.
1985, Richard secretly obtained a key to Laura's residence. I wonder how, and displayed it on his
Yeah.
car dashboard, intentionally flaunting his ability to access her private life whenever he wanted. Okay. I mean, if I saw a key on someone's dad, like a couple of things about this, maybe I'm not like, does she know that he obtained the copy, or is
Well,
that just for him? Because if I'm seeing a copy of a key on someone's dashboard, I'm thinking, A, what an idiot to leave a key on
right.
a dashboard. And then B, I wouldn't be like, oh, that groove is my house.
Yeah, I
Like
don't
the
know
groove's
how
on the, I don't
exactly.
know how that happens.
Maybe he was able to like prove it in some other way. Who really knows?
Well, by the fall of 1985, Laura sought help from the Human Resources
Yeah.
Department at ESL,
I was just wondering about them. Yeah.
prompting a manager named Gene Tuffley to formally confront Richard and instruct him to cease all contact with Laura. And let me say, and I think this goes, I've been diving kind of deep in a lot of these, especially like how the public treats the men versus the women and the
Yeah.
stigmatism. It's possible to be so scared that you're not going to come forward. You know, it seems obvious to be like, I'm going to go send help. But the other half of it is like, if I go send help and they don't do anything, is this guy going to come and
Then
attack me?
what?
He
Yeah,
clearly is right.
totally.
He's clearly watching me, you know,
Yeah.
and like, I don't know my rights necessarily. So what am I going to do?
Yeah.
Well, in October of that year, in 1985, Richard agreed to stop following Laura. But within just a few weeks, his conduct escalated to include explicit references to his extensive gun collection.
Oh my God.
And a few months later, in early 1986, right after you were born,
Yeah,
Johnny,
I was
40
just a
years
little
ago,
baby. Yeah.
12 years ago, Richard approached Laura in a parking
Oh
lot
my
and warned
God.
her that he owned firearms and was highly skilled in their use. This is how did we go from bacon cakes to fucking threatening her life?
Yeah, it's interesting because you do wonder because, he's Mr. Romantic or whatever, but then maybe
The
not even
ego
romantic,
on
but
these
he's
men.
yeah, it went very quickly from I'm really interested in this person to I have weapons that can destroy you, which is not
And
good,
well,
of
and
course.
no, in February of 1986, Richard warned Jean that if ESL terminated his employment, he would have nothing left to live for and would take other people with him.
Yeah.
On May 2nd, 1986, ESL management terminated Richard's employment after he refused to comply with psychological counseling requirements and continued to threaten coworkers. There must be maybe some solace in the fact that she kind of has her company's backing with this
Yeah,
because they
that's
were at
true.
the same company. So, like, it's not some random person that she doesn't have any
Yeah.
connection with, which I imagine would be scattered. Obviously, this isn't good. I'm just saying that hopefully her company is supporting her in this. In the
Right.
summer of 86, Richard obtained employment with a rival company, Covalent Systems Corporation, but continued stalking Laura by attending her aerobics classes and softball games. In October of 1987, about a year later, Richard sent Laura another letter stating that he had nothing left to lose but his life and warning her not to push him any further. This is terrifying.
This is really, yeah,
Like,
it's getting scary. Like, it's one thing to
this.
just stalk and
It's
show
so
up.
ominous. It's
Yeah, the
so
ominous. Yeah,
ominous.
that's right. Yeah.
Hey, Sal.
Hank, what's going on? We haven't worked a case in years.
I just bought my car at Carvana, and it was so easy. Too easy.
Think something's up?
You tell me. They got thousands of options. Found a great car at a great price. And it got delivered the next day.
It sounds like Carvana just makes it easy to buy your car, Hank.
Yeah, you're right. Case closed.
Buy your car today on
Carvana.
Delivery fees may apply.
In November of 1987, Richard referenced the San Ysidro McDonald's massacre, where a gunman actually killed 21 people and injured 19 during a 1984 shooting rampage,
Wow.
during a conversation with his friend Thomas Birch, and speculated how people would react if something similar happened to occur at ESL. These criminals, they always leave little breadcrumbs.
Yeah.
They always leave little things.
And it's worth mentioning, this is the late 80s, so it's not quite the era of shootings that I think we've come to like recognize as like the school shooters and the stuff we see tragically like every couple months at this point. So
Yeah.
these kind of conversations are a little probably taken in a little bit of a different light than they would be today, but nonetheless still haunting and like you said, Darren, ominous.
Well, this is what people talk about when they say red flag
Yeah,
laws. You
exactly.
know,
Yeah.
when you see people kind of talking about, like, well, what would it be like if I killed myself and my classmates? Like, kind of just waxing extemporaneously about these things. These are what they say by red flag laws. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it gets really dark, unfortunately, because in December of 1987, Richard discussed ESL security doors with an employee named Lawrence, asking whether the glass was bulletproof and remarking that the double-aught buckshot would likely destroy it. Again, not
Jesus.
conversations you want to be having with employees. On February 2nd, 1988, Laura obtained a temporary restraining order against Richard, which was an action he later described as, quote, the ultimate act of abandonment. On February 9th, a couple of days later, Richard delivered a package to an attorney named Mary Bird containing falsified evidence that was intended to make it look like he'd been in a long-term romantic relationship with Laura. A couple days after that, Richard purchased a semi-automatic shotgun and ammunition using a check that later bounced for insufficient funds. And on that same day, Richard visited a shooting range, rented a lane and specifically requested man-shaped silhouette targets while practicing with his firearms. Now,
Which
listen.
Isn't, that's normal to me. That in and of itself, without any knowing any context, I've been to a shooting range before.
Yeah.
They have man-made, like they have targets. And to be honest, a lot of that stuff is for self-defense. And if this was a woman who was trying to have self-defense, yeah, you should have those targets because then you'd know what to look out for. So that detail in and of itself, I think.
Yeah, I mean, we're on the show, but you know, we're telling you all the details we know now in retrospect, but individually there's not really a lot you can deduce just from that one piece
just
of
from
information.
That. Yeah, yeah, that's not necessarily you know, nefarious. Yeah.
The next day on February 12th, Richard removed Lara as the beneficiary of his life insurance policies and replaced her with a woman he was dating named May Chang. A couple days later on February 15th, Richard completed paperwork to rent a motorhome and informed his university professor that he would be absent from class the following Wednesday. On February 16th, the next day, Richard drove the rented motorhome into the ESL parking lot, carrying nearly 100 pounds of firearms and over 1,000 rounds of ammunition. At approximately 2:50 p.m., Richard shot and killed Lawrence, the man we talked about earlier, Lawrence Kane, in the parking lot before blasting through the locked glass doors of the M5 building with a shotgun. Richard then moved deliberately throughout the building, killing 7 employees and wounding 4 others, including Lara, who survived a shotgun blast to her left shoulder after
Jesus.
Locking herself inside of her office. Yeah, it's just like, here we go. It's like the worst case scenario.
I also think it's interesting that she was his beneficiary of his life insurance
yeah.
policy.
Like, yeah,
like he's, that is his illusion of grandeur, right? Like,
yeah,
like it just
sure.
goes to show that he's having this whole relationship with her. I mean, you tend to not do that unless you're related or married or at least a friendship with,
right.
you know, I sort
yeah,
of understand
just,
doing that to a friend, but
yeah.
this woman is repeatedly saying to this and he's still doing that. So it just goes to show how this obviously has a lot to do with mental illness and not being able to cope.
And not being able to take no for an answer, you know.
Exactly. During that, the attack, Richard shot 23-year-old employee Wayne Williams Jr. in the face while
wow.
Wayne sat at his desk. Richard also shot Helen Limparter and Glenda Moritz at close range as they stood near a survivor named Max Mancini, who later described the violence unfolding just a few feet away. Wow.
Wow.
A data processing specialist named Ronald Reed was killed during the assault, along with Joseph Silva and Ronald Doney. At approximately 3:15 p.m., Richard called the company's internal security line and told a technician named Robert Mancibo, that he was the one, quote unquote, wasting all these people and blaming Laura and her attorney for his actions. Interesting that he would, you know,
it's always everyone else's fault, right?
Well, yes, but also interesting that he would even call to alert them of him anyway. Not that he wouldn't be alerted before, because he obviously worked at this company, but Richard then began to barricade him.
Oh, sorry to interrupt you. I was going to say, but also, you know, this is about, I don't know, half an hour into this rampage, you know?
Right.
So he's like making phone calls. Like what?
Right. I feel like a lot of times when this happens, they then kill themselves like pretty quickly thereafter. But Richard then barricaded himself inside the building, initiating a standoff that actually lasted several hours as law enforcement officers surrounded the facility and attempted to negotiate his surrender. During the standoff, Richard spoke with police lieutenant named Ruben Grijalva and stated that he wanted Laura to live so she would always remember what he had done. A statement later cited as evidence of intent to inflict lasting psychological harm.
Yeah, because she got blasted on the shoulder.
Shoulder.
So, yeah, maybe that was intentional. Like he was hoping not to actually murder
Sick
her
fuck.
So that she remembered all these problems. Yeah.
Sick fuck. Well, as negotiations continued, police worked to evacuate survivors and secure the building while monitoring Richard's movements and communications from outside. And at approximately 8:30 p.m., Richard surrendered to the Sunnyvale SWAT team after officers promised him a sandwich and a soft drink. That's all it took.
My God.
Ending
Burger
the five-hour
King.
Standoff with Richard still alive.
Yeah.
On February 17th, detectives searched Richard's residence and discovered a will placed prominently on top of his computer terminal, reinforcing the prosecution's argument that the attack had been planned in advance. Yes.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah. He went to a shooting range, too.
Investigators also catalog Richard's guns, ammunition, and written materials as part of the evidentiary record assembled for trial. And given the fact that he had years of stalking this woman and she had had a restraining order, it's not looking too fucking good for him, let me tell you.
No. This also has me wondering, like, how often do negotiators in these situations give the sandwich and the drink? You know, I'm curious if that's like a
they probably
thing
give
that
it if
happens.
They think.
Yeah,
I'm sure they do. You know, I would imagine that they're there to make sure that that person doesn't cause further harm to a situation, either to themselves or the situation. So a soft drink and a sandwich is a small price to pay for not having this guy kill himself.
And, you know, if he gets the soft drink and the sandwich, then maybe at trial he's more willing to cooperate too, you know, because if he doesn't get it, then he doesn't want to cooperate, I'm sure, you know.
Yeah.
But we'll have I'm curious. I'm going to look into that more. Well, in July of 91, the trial of Richard began in Santa Clara County, where he admitted to carrying out the shooting, but claimed he had gone to the ESL building intending to kill himself in front of Laura rather than to harm others. Prosecutors countered this narrative by presenting extensive evidence of premeditation, including Richard's weapons purchase, prior threats, surveillance of the building, and statements made to coworkers and friends in the months leading up to the attack.
And sort of the one thing that one thing that he would get right if he wanted to do it was take the gun and shoot himself. Like, I can't really imagine a bunch of people coming to stop him to do that in front of Laura. So he went to a gun range, so he knows what way the gun fires. So the fact not only managed to shoot Laura along with killing several others, what a stupid fucking defense. Yeah, I wouldn't buy that for anything.
No, not at all. And neither did the jury, because on October 21st, 1991, the jury found Richard guilty of 7 counts of first-degree murder, 5 counts of attempted murder, and multiple additional felony charges related to the assault. The verdict reflected the jury's conclusion that Richard did act with deliberation and intent rather than impulsivity or diminished responsibility. On January 17, 1992, Superior Court Judge Joseph Biaforce Jr. sentenced Richard to death, describing him as a vicious killer who had demonstrated a complete disregard for human life, which I think sounds accurate based on what we just described. The sentence placed Richard on California's death row, where he remained for decades as his case moved through the appeals process. But on July 2, 2009, the California Supreme Court affirmed Richard's conviction and death sentence, stating that the evidence to premeditation and planning was overwhelming and supported the jury's findings.
Listen, if he wanted Laura to live forever with what she suffered, then I think he should too.
Yeah.
In April of 2024, Santa Clara County District Attorney Jeff Rosen announced a social justice initiative known as Bend the Arc, which sought to resentence several individuals on death row to life without the possibility of parole. I am for this. The DA publicly described the death penalty as an antiquated, racially biased, and error-prone system, arguing that while Richard deserved punishment, the community did not benefit from maintaining an archaic sentence. I agree. In December of 2024, a widow named Elizabeth Allen, whose husband Buddy Allen was killed in the shooting, appeared in court to oppose the resentencing effort and tearfully demanded justice for her family. Elizabeth told the court that reducing Richard's sentence would dishonor the lives lost and re-traumatize the families who had already endured decades of grief. I feel that. I understand that, and I sympathize with that. On March 20th, 2025, less than a year ago, a survivor named Richard Townsley, who continues to carry bullet fragments in his body, submitted a letter to the court stating that Richard should live with the death penalty hanging over his head for the rest of his life. Maybe I'm okay with that. I want this man to suffer. I don't necessarily believe in the death penalty, but, you know, having it hang over his head isn't something I necessarily disagree with.
Yeah, the repercussions of your actions, I think, is completely understandable there, especially if you're a family member of the victim.
Richard Townsley emphasized the permanent physical and emotional consequences suffered by survivors as a result of the attack.
Yeah.
On March 21st, 2025, Superior Court Judge Benjamin Williams denied the request for resentencing, concluding that Richard had not demonstrated remorse or mean any meaningful rehabilitation in the 37 years since the shooting. And Benjamin stated that there was no reason to believe Richard posed any less danger to society than he did on the day of the massacre in 1988.
Right.
I think that's true. To this day, Richard remains incarcerated at the California Healthcare Facility in Stockton, a prison that houses individuals with significant medical and mental health needs, which I'm sure is the right place for him. And I just want to mention, this is one of the reasons I think that you and I were so adamant about the Menendez brothers being released is because they did something with their prison time.
Exactly.
They spent 37 years in prison, you know, like same time as this guy. And you can kind of see the results in a different sort of way. And so I think you can kind of handle your consequences a lot differently. And when you absolutely show no remorse, then I don't think that the prison system is going to redeem you. And I don't necessarily think you're fit to also live with the rest of society. So
I agree.
Really interesting case. Let us know what you guys think at Jay Thrasher, at Carpe Darren, and hit us up on Facebook, Shaken and Disturbed Podcast Fans, or on our lovely Patreon.
That's right.
Shall we get, or comment on this YouTube video. We will read them.
That's right. Yes.
Should we get to some listener shout outs? And do you mind if I take the first one?
Yeah, go for the first one for sure.
This is from our amazing, unbelievably generous patron and friend of the show, Marty, who we love, who commented on the format of last week's episode, Square Mile of Murder, which was really four cases in one episode, kind of all connected, saying, quote, I like this format. Talking about some similar cases, although not necessarily connected to each other. Bravo. Let's hear more of the same, and hats off to Megan.
Okay,
my hat
Marty.
Is off to Megan. Marty, we love you, and I like that. I'm glad you got some information from that.
Yeah, thank you, Marty. And yes, hats off to Megan for doing a great job pulling all those interesting cases together for that really unique episode. We love you, Megan. Megan's doing great, by the way, guys. We should do an update. Megan, we love Megan, and she is still very much a part of the show. I know she's kind of in the background these days, but she's very much still a part of our Shaken and Disturbed family. Sarah on Patreon also commented on a recent NMR episode, Darren, where I was complaining about the people in IKEA walking directly into me on a constant basis. You probably remember.
Yep.
She said, quote, I worked at IKEA for 8 years, 5 on the communications and interior design team.
Wow.
And I can confirm people can be awful. Are you ready for this? Wait till you hear this. I totally understand being frustrated without knowing there are shortcuts to make your life easier. I actually do know some of those shortcuts. And all, but that does not explain the decisions by customers to throw half-eaten hot dogs and used baby diapers into displays and behind racking.
Why are people fucking disgusting?
What is going on at IKEA? She says, you see the best and worst people inside those walls. It truly should be studied. LOL.
People
Sarah, thank you for this. Yeah, that is
I
really
mean, that's
gross.
That's truly disgusting and just goes to show where you came from, honestly.
Yeah, I mean,
and how you were raised, because I would never do that.
You know, I think that people see the settings and the displays at IKEA and think it's like a hotel or like a home.
I think they're sleeping in the bed there. Yeah, they're just happy.
Changing diapers. Like, what the hell is going on? Well, anyway, thank you guys. And thank you, Sarah, for that hilarious message and for your IKEA experience. We love that. Well, guys, we recently celebrated our 5th birthday here on the show. That's right. Shaken and Disturbed is 5 years old. Yay. And when we launched the show, we also launched our Patreon alongside it. So if you aren't a patron yet, joining now would give you 5 years of content. Technically, you're getting a better value now than if you signed up in the beginning. From bonus episodes to exclusive videos seen nowhere else to early access to all of our episodes, there's a lot waiting for you.
Join today for as little as $5 a month. And if you sign up annually, it's even cheaper, like $3 or something.
Yeah,
if you sign up to be a Sussy Radish, you could get your name on our board behind us.
That's right.
We will be updating that board here in the next couple of weeks. So make sure your name gets added.
That's right. Join now at patreon.com/shakenanddisturbed, all one word. Or, of course, you can click the link in our show notes.
And for everything else, Shaken and Disturbed, check out shakenanddisturbed.com.
And by the way, Darren, you might not know this. I have asked our patrons to give us our 2026 sign-offs because I haven't been able to land on something.
I don't know what I want to do.
Yeah, I just don't know. So if you're listening to this, this is for any tier. You guys can go in, write in the comment section of the post what you think our sign-off could be. We're going to talk about it on a future episode and we're going to land on something. It's already February. We got to get this show on the road in terms of the sign-off. So.
Amen. Amen.
All right. We'll see you guys next
time. People are awful? Okay, cool. That's our sign off.
That's the sign off. All right. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Hey, Sal.
Hank, what's going on? We haven't worked a case in years.
I just bought my car at Carvana, and it was so easy. Too easy.
Think something's up?
You tell me. They got thousands of options.
Mm-hmm.
Found a great car at a great price.
Uh-huh.
And it got delivered the next day.
It sounds like Carvana just makes it easy to buy your car, Hank.
Yeah, you're right. Case closed.
Buy your car today on Carvana. Delivery fees may apply.